There are outlines for you on the back table by the offering plate. If you'd like to take some notes this morning and forgot to pick one of those outlines up, please feel free to do that. As we continue this summer and this Sunday in this series that we're hearing from the Word of the Lord, the truths that are laid out by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning how our lives are marked by the Holy Spirit through unique charismata, grace gifts. Charis being that word that defines grace for us in our lives. Charis being that grace that we know that saves us. And in that salvation, that charis sets us apart to be God's people. And he sets us apart in his charis to be charismata, that is, people endowed with spiritual gifts. In, as we're discovering, the fullness of our life in Christ, by grace through the Spirit, expressed through charismaton, grace gifts, spiritual gifts. Let this word of the Lord, as we continue, even this morning and in the weeks to come, this is our foundation on which we're building upon, the foundation of the truth of God's word that describes who we are in him, and for that purpose, in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form, and in Christ, we have been brought to fullness. Fullness. Everything in the counsel of the Word of God that he wants for us has been given to us. As people of the kingdom by grace through faith, we are the fullness of Christ now here on earth. Sinful human beings, and yet saints of the Lord. Sinful human beings who know his charis and live by that every day, and yet as saints of the Lord, people who've been set apart in that charis to now know the fullness of Christ expressed through spiritual gifts. So I am richly furnished with the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit because Jesus lives in me and I live in him. We're simply building on these biblical truths concerning the Holy Spirit at work within us as Jesus has blessed us in his fullness. I've used lots of illustrations, or I should say a couple of illustrations. I've used a cup in which you're pouring water, and the water gets to the top, and some of us might say, oh, that's full. Well, let's stop there. But the fullness of Christ is more than that, isn't it? In our human understanding of this, we might think what's full. The Lord's understanding of fullness is that it overflows from us and blesses other people. Or I used the illustration, I think, last week of an ice cream cone, right? That ice cream cone, it's full now, but when it runs over the side and down your hand and your elbow's getting all sticky, that's full, right? And you have to have somebody else help you with it to eat that ice cream, all right? That kind of idea of the fullness of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 6, as Paul, by the Spirit, is writing to those Christians there, we hear this here and now for us in this truth as well. God's timeless, inspired word defines our living today. I offer you his word, saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, the church, people who are in a relationship in Christ Jesus together, as we are, in view of God Almighty's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your true and proper worship. It's not just the gathering on Sunday mornings, our true and proper worship as we're expressing now, but it's the daily living in all the fullness of Christ, including his grace gifts that define us as his people. In the mercy that we've been shown to offer our bodies as living sacrifices unto his praise and glory. Let's back up from that. Discovering as we're doing, and then developing as we're doing, and then to deploy as we'll get to. All of that is the exercise of spiritual giftedness, grace gifts, that allow us to live as these living sacrifices unto the Lord. So maybe from today on, as the word of the Lord is its foundation for us, let's use this. I would offer this explanation for us concerning spiritual gifts, and we'll work through that this morning. Spiritual gifts, grace gifts, are unique endowments from the Holy Spirit. Indeed, They are from God himself. And they're gifts to us, endowments. You know the word for that, right? It's called stewardship. We are stewards, managers of these endowments, these grace gifts that the Lord has given us. And they're generously shared then with Christians in community here in this community, or the community in which you regularly worship is where these gifts are meant to be generously shared for building up the body of Christ in practical ways. Practical ways. Certainly, there is a sense of mystery around spiritual gifts. But the Lord gives these gifts to his church, his people, so that the mission and purpose of his body might be completed in practical ways. God is not an impractical God, is he not? He's a practical God who wants to see the blessings of his presence, his power, his fullness expressed in practical ways through you and me. Mysterious as they might be, certainly, they're meant to be known in practical ways for the mission of his church. So, in Galatians 5:25, Paul encouraged the church in Galatia, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And one of those ways is in the discovering, developing, and deployment of spiritual gifts to the glory of the Lord, his people, for his mission. Grace gifts, then, are an endowment to me. Let's start there. God, the Lord God, through his Spirit, gifts me, endows me, as a steward of his kingdom with these gifts, in the fullness of which he wants my life expressing his grace and goodness, his love for you and me, his purpose and his mission within the body of Christ, our lives overflowing because of this generosity that he's endowed me with. But don't conform to the pattern of this world, the Spirit says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what the Lord God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So herein lies the challenge for us as the fullness of Christ lives in us, but we still live in a sinful, broken world. And myself, sometimes following the world more than the kingdom. There's some things that we ought to be aware of concerning our time here in the world for the purpose of exercising spiritual gifts for the sake of the kingdom's mission among us that we ought to be aware of, so that we're not reflecting the world, but that the kingdom is known among us as the body of Christ. One is ignorance, or to ignore these spiritual gifts. Remember what Paul said? I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to know about these things, the Spirit says. And I want you to know all that you can about them. So for us to ignore them or live in ignorance of them really is to not deny his grace given to me. And each one of us then has a personal accountability unto the Lord if we're going to choose to be ignorant about these things. That's not what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us to be uninformed. He wants us to know, to discover and develop, deploy what he's gifted us in the endowment of his Spirit. Sometimes we give into fear, or that there's this fearfulness about spiritual gifts. Maybe the word we could use there is charismatophobia. Grace, gifts, fear. That's where the word phobia is used to define fear. Yeah, this is rejecting simply his desire in giving them, which affects the body. If I'm going to let charismatophobia define and drive me, which builds on ignorance or ignoring them, then really I'm a hindrance to the body of Christ to fulfill its purpose and its mission. Do you want to be a hindrance to the body of Christ fulfilling its mission? No, we don't. And so we need to address our fears, or that which maybe would make us fearful, so that we're not a stumbling block. A stumbling block that might cause somebody else to trip and never know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Far be it from us, Lord. I don't want that to be a part of my life. You don't either. So we'll address this. Another thing of the world that the Spirit calls us to avoid is abuse or to abuse. That's called charismatomania, grace gift hysteria, where the pendulum would swing so far one way that there's just this emotional kind of manic, either up or down, about grace gifts, which then really would lead to neglecting his purpose, and then his mission goes unfulfilled. Because we're not then accomplishing that which Christ Jesus has given to us in the fulfillment of our purpose as the body of Christ. Oh, we're all hung up on ourselves or what we're experiencing, and that's not a part of the body of Christ either. All right, all of these things that the Spirit is calling us to avoid, so that we won't be transformed into what the world looks like, but that we would be exercising our freedom in Christ. For by the grace given me. Comes back to that, doesn't it, friends? For the gift of charis, grace, which defines you and me in the love of our Father giving us his one and only Son. And in that one and only Son, charis is made known, each one of us, individually, for the forgiveness of our sins and the indwelling, the fullness of the fullness, our lives in the fullness of Christ, overflowing with that charis that defines us unto eternity and gives us an opportunity these days to be the body of Christ, individual members of it, overflowing with that charis given to me generously. He endows me because he's generous. That grace overflowing is generous in my life, is it not? Every day, knowing the fullness of Christ in that gift of grace that defines this moment and the next and unto everlasting life, even when death finally might have its grip on me and my tent is being folded up, grace still defines me and you. No matter what we deal with every day in a struggle or a temptation, grace, charis, endowed to you and me generously, defines us as God's people. So, it's for freedom then that Christ has set us free. We stand firm, and we do not let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, for that's been dealt with in grace. So that his body might be built up in practical ways, is then the living out, the sharing of the fullness of Christ and those blessings that he's given us of his grace gifts. So, the Spirit says, through Paul, and hear it from me, your pastor, in the word of the Lord, I say to each one of you, not me, but the word of the Lord, and the power of his Spirit, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith the Lord God has distributed to each of you. Oh, okay. There. By a kingdom definition, in the fullness of Christ, gives me a perspective and a balance as to what we're dealing with now in these grace gifts. His grace gifts are distributed to each of us, dotheion, to give as in to put in place as the Lord sees fit. Just like Hannah and just like Raina. To some, he gives one. To some, he gives more than one as he sees fit. To one, he gives this gift. To another, he gives that gift. And not to be judging of each other, or to think ourselves more highly than we ought, but this is as the Lord sees fit. To help this one with this gift, use that gift for the glory of the Lord. And this one who has more than one gift, to use and encourage that person in the building up of the body of Christ so that our mission might be complete. That more and more people would come to know Jesus, connected to him. That the Lord's kingdom would expand. And the reason why Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, rose again, might be known by as many people as possible for them, with us, to stand around the throne in glory one day. Well, let it be so, Lord, as you see fit. Our church has even made a statement about this. Our church body in a CTCR, a Commission on Church Theology and Church Relations in 1994, said, regardless of the different gifts and varying degrees in which we have received them, the Spirit leads us to receive them all, great and small, spectacular and unspectacular, as gifts, endowments, charis, from God. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So his grace gifts within the body, they serve a function, praxis, that is, with the responsibility to the body. As the Lord sees fit, as you will discover, as you will have an opportunity to develop, and as you will have an opportunity to deploy what God has gifted you with by his Spirit, we have a responsibility then to one another in the joy of that grace gift, and to encourage and help and build one another up. Because we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. His grace gifts to us are different, diaphora, differing. And with that comes that understanding of excellence. They're different so that the kingdom of God might be built up in excellence among us. Not according to my standard, but according to the kingdom standard of his excellence by his grace. So we take another step today and drill a little bit deeper into the Word of God speaks to us and defines for us these truths now to be known, discovered, to be developed, worked out, and then deployed for the glory of the Lord. The fullness of our life in Christ, by grace through the Spirit, expressed through spiritual gifts in each one of us as he sees fit to the glory of his name. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us today another step on this journey of discovering and developing and deploying your spiritual gifts that you have endowed each one of us generously to be used in practical ways within your body. What a privilege, Lord, it is for you to speak to us concerning these mysteries and to make these mysteries known among us. May your name be glorified, your purposes be made clear in each one of us. And may we know that great joy of the grace gift or the grace gifts that you've given to each one of us. Thank you, Father, that you would see fit to use me in these ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to his glory and praise as we continue our journey together as God's people. In his name, amen.